This is Dr. Max T. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our real privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. I want to thank you so much for doing that. And also, we want to remind you of the book we've written called and entitled Face to Face with Tongues. And we've had many requests for that. And we've had a lot of good comments on that, that people have wondered, are the speaking in tongues for today? Are they or are they not? And this book covers, we've covered every place that tongues are spoken of in the Bible and examined them according to the Scriptures. And it'd be very interesting to you. If you've ever wondered about that subject, we cover every place that the speaking in tongues is talked about, and cover if they are for the day or if they are not. And the price of the book is $6.95, and if you would like a copy, you can write us here, and we'll give you our address here at the close. But we hope you have your Bibles now, and we'll continue now here over here to the 14th chapter here of the book of Romans, and we should finish this up here concerning eating of questionable things. So let's begin here in verses 1, 2, and 3. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not with doubtful disputations. And he goes on to say what it concerns here. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak, he eateth herbs. He won't eat the meat. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And to get the background on this just a little bit, we'd like for you to go over in your Bibles here, and we'll go over here to the book of 1 Corinthians, because we find out that the Apostle Paul addressed the same problem over here to those that lived in Corinth in the 8th chapter. Now, chapter 8 also over here in 1 Corinthians deals with the church's question about meat offered to idols. And this was a serious problem to them, especially since the church was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, and the Jewish believers would be anxious to avoid any contact with heathen idolatry. So the situation was this. Whatever meat was slaughtered in Corinth was done so at the temples. Part of the meat was kept by the priest, but the rest was used for private feast, and the rest sold in the market. In fact, sacrificial meat was sold at a cheaper price, therefore making it that much more attractive to those poor Christians. Now, if a friend or a neighbor invited a Christian to a feast, it was likely that the meat had been dedicated to the idol. And should the Christian participate? And that was the big question. Would some demonic power be present in the meat and injure the believer? Would eating such meat make him a worse Christian? Now, to be honest, we don't face this same problem today, but the basic situation is still with us. Does a Christian, because he is free from the law, have the right to live any way that he pleases? Well, there are many practices and places that we know that from Scripture are definitely wrong. No question about it. But there are also many borderline problems about which even dedicated Christians disagree. So, we find out here, many times strong Christians who know the Bible are prone to be puffed up when they deal with weaker Christians. Paul admits here, as well as in Romans chapter 14, where we're at here, that some believers are strong in the faith and they are mature, while others are weak and have legalistic views of the Christian life. But the strong Christian must not let his pride of knowledge rule his life. In other words, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, says the apostle. In fact, The man who thinks that he knows everything is admitting that he knows nothing. Now, Paul's not encouraging us to be ignorant, brethren, but rather is warning us that a proud attitude is not Christ-like. Other words, knowledge must be balanced with love, love for God, and also love for the brethren. And we must not judge one another or reject one another when it comes to this situation that was presented here in Corinth. Now, the Christian life cannot be lived in its fullness if a man or a person is ignorant of the Word. We must always take into consideration that some Christians do not understand the blessings of liberty that we have in Christ. They live in spiritual superstition, and they try to regulate their lives with rules and rituals, and we're told this in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 16 to 23. But Paul clearly states that idols are not real, and that meat offered to idols could never hurt a man's body or his spirit, and he tells us that in verse 8. Now, I'd like for you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, "But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, and neither if we eat not are we the worse." You see. Now there is one God and one Savior, and we worship and obey only the Lord. But a weak Christian does not have this knowledge. He does not realize that nothing is sinful of itself. That is referring to the meat. There's nothing sinful about the meat itself. Now, and that meat and that drink can never make a man a better Christian. You know how patient Christ was with the disciples and some of their things they were ignorant of, and how patient that you and I ought to be with one another. As a Christian grows in grace and knowledge through reading and obeying the Word, he understands the truth and trust. That trust sets him free. Now, the new Christian or the untaught Christian will have a weak conscience. If he sees another Christian eating meat that had been on a heathen altar, it will offend him and perhaps lead him into sin. But because he is inexperienced in exercising his spiritual senses, he will go to the other extreme and perhaps disgrace the name of Christ. Now, a mature Christian with a strong conscience will not be affected by the heathen around him. But the believer with a weak conscience will be confused and, if he follows his brother's example, might get into serious spiritual trouble. Now, don't go around being a spiritual detective, Paul states, if invited to a feast. And if you are disposed to go, then go right ahead and don't ask a lot of questions. However, if the host tells you that the meat was sacrificed to an idol, do not eat it. Well, the question is, why shouldn't I eat it? I didn't offer it to an idol, and it doesn't make any difference. There's no sin in the meat itself. So that you can be a testimony to the Christian who is weak and would be offended and caused to sin. Paul then anticipates an argument, but you ask, well, why should we have our liberty limited by somebody else's conscience? If we bless the food and eat for God's glory, isn't that enough? Well, the answer is no. As a Christian and as a mature Christian, we must do everything possible not to offend the Jews, the Gentiles, or other Christians. So it really boils down to this. Whatever a Christian does, even if he does not, if it doesn't hurt him, he must never hurt anyone else. And while we think that this principle sort of limits us, it really does not, for it allows us to be a greater blessing to others and to win the lost to Christ. Now, with that in mind, let's go on back here. But remember verse 8, "Now meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, and neither if we eat not are we the worse." Now, let's go back and pick it up here now in Romans here in chapter 14. Now, let's go down to verse 14, and you'll begin to see here in verse 13, I should say, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, and is referring to the meat and the drink. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. And if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, of whom Christ died. Don't go ahead and eat it while he's there, because he is a weak Christian. And then he tells us here in verse 17 again, and he stresses this. Same thing as you have equivalent over here to 1 Corinthians 8:8. And he says in verse 17 of the 14th chapter here of Romans, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then we find out here, when we go back up, the verses in between tells us here that every one of us give an account of ourselves to the Lord. Now, he comes on down, and notice in verse 14, you see, or in verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, after the Christian departs from this earth here, and after the rapture takes place, then we have a judgment in heaven to determine the rewards or loss of rewards that we're going to receive by what we did down here up on the earth, and how we acted, and what we thought, and what our lives, were lived down here for the glory of the Lord, and what kind of determination that we made, and spiritual exercise that we did. Notice here in verse 11, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Now, when you go back, you begin to find in 2 Corinthians, he talks about when he wrote to him the second time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the same thing. And this is something that Christians many times don't realize. Everything you think and everything you do, every action you do, whatever you plan or whatever you do, you have to give an account, and so do I, to the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in verse 10, it tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, going along with this, we're going back here now again, and to get this just a little bit more here, in 1 Corinthians here in chapter 3. And where he brings this out even more at the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to realize that, first of all, we're not down here to be just exercising every liberty that we have. And if I'm invited to a banquet or something, I don't know how the situation would be, because I don't believe I would go to a heathen banquet. But we'll say that we were invited to some kind of banquet, and I had no knowledge, and there were several Christians there and so forth. And or we'll say hypothetically. Now, I'm just trying to use an illustration here, which I'm not sure would ever take place. But we'll say that we went with another Christian who has just become a Christian. And he's very conscious here of what he does, because he may have come out of a religion that worshipped idols. And anyway, we got a great big pot roast there, and they're going to serve beef and a beef roast and so forth. But they asked somebody to get up of a religion there. We didn't know they were going to be there. And he is offering this unto the sun god Ra. And thank you, Ra, for the meat here, and so on and so forth. And my Christian brother, who is a weak Christian, looks over at me and says, "I'm not going to eat that. I'm not eating any of that at all. I'm going to eat herbs. I'm going to eat the lettuce and the salad and the cucumbers and the radishes and everything else in the salad, but I'm not going to eat that meat, because he offered it unto an idol, which is the sun god Ra, or whatever idol that it might be, whatever it is. So I've got a decision to make. Well, are you going to eat it too, Max? Well, I love beef roast, so what am I going to do?" Well, knowing that it means absolutely nothing, I can take the attitude of, "Well, my brother here, that's too bad. You know, it's not my fault. He's such a weak Christian. He ought to know better than that." Am I going to take that kind of an attitude and tell him, "The heck with that. I'm going ahead and eat. If you don't want to eat, don't eat." No, what's going to be offensive? This is a young Christian. He does not have the spiritual maturity. He is very self-conscious here. He does not know as much of the Word of God as someone else does. He hasn't grown as a Christian, only been saved here a short period of time, and he is not going to eat it, because this is highly offensive to him that it was offered to the sun god Ra. Now, I know I'm using a hypothetical situation, but I'm just trying to use an illustration here that might bring it down to where we can relate to it. So anyway, I've got a decision to make. Am I going to say, "The heck with you, it isn't my fault that you haven't grown any more than you have. This is a sheer nonsense, and there isn't any reason we can't eat that delicious beef roast coming around here when they deliver our plate." And he said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I think this is blasphemy, and I'm not going to partake of it because it's been offered to an idol. So I've got a decision. Am I going ahead and exercise my spiritual right and knowing that meat commendeth us not to God, for whether we eat, we're not the better. Whether we eat not, we're not the worse. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So if I'm a spiritual Christian, as I think I am, if you're in that situation or you think you are, then here is my opportunity where I'm going to have to exercise my spiritual liberty in order not to offend a young Christian brother. So he's looking over at me and saying, Max, well, what are you going to do? I'm not going to eat that stuff. And I'm going to tell him, well, I think I'll just eat herbs too. Now, way underneath, I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to bring him to another feast again or not. It's cost me, I've donated $8, $9 for this thing here. Now I can't even eat the beef roast, you know. Truthfully, if it's going to offend my brother, I'm going to bypass it, and I'm going to eat the radishes, and I'm going to eat the celery, and I'm going to eat the herbs, and so on and so forth, even though I don't really want to. But I'm going to do it for conscience sake because I don't want to offend a weaker brother. And I'll bet you the next time I leave him at home, he can go where he wants to go, and I'll go with a stronger Christian, and we're going to enjoy the beef. But anyway, trying to bring it down right to where it is now, as it was clear back there 2,000 years ago, when the meat had been brought to the temple, offered by the priest to the idols and so forth, and then taken out to the marketplace and sold, and that weaker brother will not eat it under those circumstances. So Christ is telling us here, sacrifice your liberty here so that you don't put a stumbling block here before the weaker brother and cause him to get discouraged, and he has not reached the spiritual level and understanding what you understand. So I'm going to sacrifice my liberty in order not to offend the brother, you see. And that's what we should do, and that's what Paul's talking about. Now, when he talks about here, every one of us giving us account of ourselves unto God, if we go over here and showing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul addresses this, that every Christian has to give an account of everything that he does in his Christian life after that he has received Jesus Christ as his Savior. That is, every thought that you think, every thought that I think, every action that I do, and whether it be right or wrong, I'm going to have to stand before Almighty God, not to determine whether I go to heaven, because I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Lord Jesus then tells me that whatever I do in my body, after I'm saved, I have to give an account for that, not as a condition to go to heaven, because I'm saved by grace through faith, not of myself. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what I do with my life after that I am saved, then I have to give an account of that to God, because there will be rewards that Christ passes out. There will be loss of rewards determined by how I use my life for Jesus Christ after that I am a Christian. Now we come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he begins to talk about that and exemplifies that a little bit. And we begin here in verse 11. For he says there, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Goes right along with John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. So there's no other foundation that can be laid. There's no foundation of water baptism. There's no foundation of, communion that will give you eternal life. A foundation that many people trust as belonging to a church that will never take you to heaven, or depending upon their gifts to charity and how nice they are to people, and that's wonderful, but it will never merit you eternal life. It will never do that. It is, and God says, we have all sinned. No matter how good you may be, you're not perfect. And to go to heaven and have eternal life, I must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I must be absolutely perfect. Well, that eliminates all humanity. That's why the Lord came to this earth. That's why God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Because if anyone could lay any other kind of a foundation to build upon, other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then if you could lay any other foundation, it was absolutely senseless and foolish for Christ to come to this earth and die and pay for your sins. If you could merit eternal life by any kind of good works that you propose to God, he will accept none. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all of our good works are nothing but a pile of filthy rags. So we come on down here, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I thank God so much that he sent Christ to die for me, because I know I'm a sinner. And this is the hardest thing for some people to get across, that they're a sinner after many good things that they have done. But nevertheless, it is true. And now, if any man build upon this foundation, that is the foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Now, the gold, silver, precious stones represents the good works and the good things that we do for Christ, whether it be through our giving, whether it be through helping others, whether it be with encouraging others, whether it be with whatever it might be, winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it might be on the deacon board, whether it might be Sunday school teachers, whether it might be just faithful in church, and whatever it might be, whatever your gift is, and that you're exercising that, doing the best you can for the Lord, to use your body, soul, and spirit to serve him. This is the gold, silver, precious stones, but also having the old nature. There may be times when we fall away. There may be times when we quit serving the Lord and we're not honest with the Lord and we get discouraged and we draw back. That is wood, hay, and stubble, and those are the things that the Lord is not pleased with. So notice, if any man build upon this foundation, now he's only talking about a Christian now, because no lost person builds upon the foundation of Christ. Only the Christian who has the foundation of Christ can say, the Lord is my Savior. You see, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now, every man or every Christian's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, for the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire is the purifying agent, showing that God's judgment is just. It is 100% pure, and he doesn't give anybody any more advantages or leeway or overlook things in their life than he does any other person. Everyone is judged absolutely perfect, absolutely right, and it doesn't matter what position you have down here upon the earth. Whether you're a pastor, you get no special privileges. You will be judged as a pastor. I will be judged as a pastor on my faithfulness to the Word of God, on the life that I live, on my testimony, on the opportunities that I take or reject here as far as winning others to Christ, everything I do in my life. But just being a pastor gives me no more special privileges than it does you sitting in the congregation. Christ is not a respecter of persons. So we go on here. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Well, thank the Lord for that, because our labor is not in vain. Not in vain at all. And the Lord continually tells us that. Our labor that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ will always be rewarded for. In fact, I found that the Lord always overpays me for everything that I do. And he never shortchanges me, but always pays me more than I'm really worth. And that's how wonderful that the Lord is. Now, he goes on in verse 15 and says, if any man's work, that's any Christian's work, shall be burned, that's your wood, hay, and stubble, he will suffer loss. Now, he's going to suffer loss of rewards, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What by fire? Pureness of God's word again. Because he promised that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So even though you have sin in your life, even though you have turned your back on God, he will never turn his back on his word and never go back on his promise that you will never perish, but have everlasting life. But you will suffer loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, further on, if we go on over here to the next book here in 1 Corinthians, he adds a little bit more to this about serving the Lord so that we can have rewards, and the life that we live down here is not in vain. I mean, everything we do down here, we're going to be rewarded for in heaven. Notice here in 1 Corinthians, here in chapter 15, He goes on over here, and knowing we have eternal life, he tells us here in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, this corruptible, that is the bodies that have went ahead and died, they're corruptible, and at the rapture they will put on incorruption, they shall have a body fashioned like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. This mortal, that is, those which are alive, shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's always victory in the Lord Jesus because he rose from the dead. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Well, there's none. But then in verse 57 and verse 58, he tells the Christian, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And therefore, that's the reason we have the judgment seat of Christ, and that's the reason in Romans chapter 14, knowing that we shouldn't be judging a weaker Christian. Now, I'm going to say this truthfully again, as I said it previously. If I take a weak Christian and Uba Gooba gets up and he's going to dedicate this meat here to one of his gods that he worships or whatever, and my weaker Christian here says, buddy, I'm not eating nothing that's offered to a heathen god. I'm true to my God. Well, I knowing, being an older Christian, that, well, I serve the true God too, and it doesn't make any difference what Uba Gooba says and who he offers it up to or anything. I want to eat that meat because I'm hungry. Well, I'm going to sacrifice my right, as I said previously, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to take second thoughts if I ever come with him again. I'm going to get me an older Christian here that's not convicted like that and understands that whether we eat, we're not the better. Whether we eat not, we're not the worse. And I'm going to say, pass the beef. I remember the one lady was an advertisement on one of the fast food places. Said, where's the beef? Well, that's what I'm going to say. I've done bypassed the beef for my weaker brother, but he's not going to be with me the next time I come to the banquet like this and they're serving beef, because I'm going to bring an older Christian. And I'm going to say, pass the beef. And I'm going to eat my beef. Well, I see our time sort of slipped away here. But anyway, in conclusion here, we find out here that in verse 23, in verse 22, hath thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. I'm not going to condemn myself and hurt the conscience of a weak Christian. And then in verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, as a Christian, there are things that we need to judge, and sometimes the liberty we need to forfeit here, so that we don't hurt the conscience of a weak brother, and that's putting and considering other people first, especially a new and immature Christian. So, in closing, let me just say this. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we hope that you'll do it now, and you can do that by just admitting, Lord, I'm a sinner. Christ loved me and died for me, and he paid for my sin. So I don't have to go to hell and do it myself. And God promised that if you'll believe in him, Jesus Christ, you will never perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we thank you so much for joining with us. It's been a real privilege to have you follow along. Our website is www.heritagebbc.com, and our address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. We thank you for joining with us. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming.